Blog Talk Radio.
To the Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. I'm your host, Mark Higgins. Once again, it's Tuesday. Today is the 15th June. Quite a lot is going on since we last spoke. I hope I can be heard. If someone could contact me and let me know whether or not I can be heard, it would be greatly appreciated. I'm asking that simply because I had to call in again because I got cut off somehow. And when I called back, it said that they were that I was calling back into a live show, obviously. So if I can be heard, somebody could please, and I'd really appreciate it. Again, you're listening to the Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. If you would like to join our conversation tonight, the number to call is area code 914-205-5538. That's 914-205-5538. If you would like to join the conversation, just press 1 and you'll be entered into the host key. And all we ask here in the Empowerment Zone is for you to respect the other guests by yielding when you're done with your question or comment, as not to create any ways and as to create some fluid dialogue in our conversation. Unfortunately, we only have 120 minutes. That's 2 hours of funk to discern, and we've got a lot on the table tonight. Coming live and direct from the beloved city, beautiful Chicago, USA, we're going through quite a bit here. But before I get into that, I want to let me get through the particulars. So sorry. If you would like to join us, get in membership with us, reach out to the Panther Party 1966 at gmail.com. That's the Panther Party 1966 at gmail.com. Just leave a contact number, your name, of course, and someone will get back to you expediently, I assure you. Again, if you'd like to join us in our conversation tonight, the number to reach us is 914-205-5538. That's 914-205-5538. Press 1 to speak. And again, all we ask is to be respectful to the other guests by yielding as to create fluid dialogue on this show tonight. So it's been quite a while. Good to be back. And we're certainly here in the Empowerment Zone, still active, proactive, and concerned about the growth, economic growth and financial responsibility. You know, you've been following our show. You know the premises of this show and the purpose rooted in the purpose rooted in this show is the people, and it's all about the people, all power to the people. And we want to emphasize how important it is to uplift and build our community with those five premises of financial responsibility, activism, business, preparedness, and economic empowerment. Excuse me, please. And when we put an emphasis on preparedness, that's to draw awareness, rather to highlight how much we need to prepare and how far or how much we don't prepare. We really need to step up our game. There's been quite a bit going on here in my beloved city, not just down the street or around the corner, but around the world. Quite a bit going on. We're seeing quite a few strange things going on. And I'm sorry for being a little Sound like I'm in a delay, but I'm getting some breaking news here. I see. Yeah, so just not far from where this show is being broadcast, there was a murder, and I'm highlighting this particular incident simply because there's been a rash of violence in my beloved city, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better. And we're also being shrouded with so much mental health incidences where I'm seeing the result of with the result of the country reopening, I should say, people have simply, in my opinion, have lost their minds. I work in high-profile public place, and my estimation, and this is just my stupid-ass opinion, but I feel like people have really lost their morals, their any measure of respect for one another. People are just being downright rude. People have no manners whatsoever, and it's sad. And I'm chalking it up to the fact that we were locked down for a year, and this is the result, because people have lost their damn minds. I've seen some things in these last couple of weeks that would just, it would be so surreal. It was so surreal, in fact, that I know that most people couldn't take it. It would be sad. And there's so much of it to go around. Unfortunately, there's not just in the places that I've been, but as Brother Melvin says all the time, we need each other, and it seems like we're even so much more divided now. And it's so important that we unify and come together, that we unite and come together, as opposed to cutting each other's throats, literally cutting each other's throat and ruining families and generations with senseless violence. It's reached epidemic proportions in my beloved city. And I know it's happening elsewhere. I know there's other municipalities in this country. And I'm speaking of our community, Black America. It's happening all over the place. But it's just such a, because it's infamous Chicago, you know, we're known for this. And I'm here in the midst of it. It's very high profile and very personal to me. As we've discussed on this show, there's been I've lost family members to senseless violence in the streets of Chicago. I myself have come close to dying on these wicked streets. And to be quite honest, I'm not the only one. There's no place, really no place safe. You got such a high police presence. And even with the high police presence in high profile areas, areas that are considered, let's just say, call them tourist traps in Chicago. Not just the ballpark, but all the expensive shops, all the strips of restaurants and where people spend money, and restaurants and bars and ballparks and other events, music events and food. There's high police presence. And even in the midst of all this police presence, they're still overwhelmed by violence in certain pockets of the city. And even in those areas where they are present, in those tourist trap areas, there's still robberies and killings. Uber driver just got killed the other night up in one of the most ritziest areas of Chicago. Got carjacked and murdered. And again, I'm chalking it up to the mental state of the reopening in our mental state. I'm just seeing a 9-year-old attempting suicide. Local boy. Alleged suicide attempt by a 9-year-old. Not sure of those details, but what I am sure of is that it's sad as hell, and it again calls for an immediate focus on the mental state of our community. Because if a 9-year-old is attempting suicide, I mean, it could be a litany of things that triggers this child to do this. But must focus on, and you see the result. Again, I'm chalking this up to the mental state of our community behind this coronavirus and how it's shaped us and how it's shaped our community, how it's shaped our mental state. To such a degree where, I mean, we weren't already crazy, and we already know that. If we weren't already crazy, we most certainly are nuttier than squirrel shit now behind this coronavirus, this COVID-19, this COVID shit, because we've never faced anything like this. And again, a 9-year-old allegedly attempting suicide. And we've had this discussion on this show before. Not the first 9-year-old to attempt suicide. One of the youngest, yes, to my knowledge and in my research, one of the youngest. We had an expert on the show, clinical expert, Ms. Hassan, and she described the mental state of the youth in this country, not just in this country, but from her vast experience, she explained the mental state of the youth and what the ripple effect of what they see and what they experience. And it certainly is sad. So again, I think that we must focus on how this is all affecting not just the adult population, but the children, in light of this breaking news of a 9-year-old attempting suicide. And again, it could be a litany of things that triggers this child to do this thing. But to attempt this thing. But it could be bullying. Again, a litany of things. But what I am sure of is all of us have been directly and indirectly negatively affected. That's not to say that there haven't been a number of good stories to come out of COVID this last year. There certainly have been quite a bit of a coronavirus has spawned quite a few entrepreneurs, which we here in the Empowerment Zone, we happy as hell about that because that's what we're all about. We've seen growth. We've seen a lot of negative stuff, but we've seen a lot of growth in the private sector, in the Black entrepreneur sector. We've seen a number of Black businesses triumph and weather through coronavirus and start to thrive and get employees and especially with the that's another thing we want to discuss tonight and ever so briefly in regards to Black businesses and the money allocated to Black businesses that are now available to Black and brown and minority businesses that were denied during the Trump administration. But we'll get into that in a little bit. But it's so good to see now that there are so many Black businesses now thriving. It's unfortunate that some businesses faltered and failed, but a lot of those that failed made lemonade, so to speak, because there's a one example is one catering business that went down, and now she runs a honey business. She's making honey. She never thought in a million years that she'd be making honey, but now she makes honey. So coronavirus spawned that. Other businesses that have weathered the storm that I know of locally, a relative of mine that has a thriving business just across the Illinois border in Indiana, struggled mightily during the lockdown, during the various stages of the lockdown, struggled mightily. But now, since everything's opened up, they've recovered and are thriving once again. And God bless my aunt and uncle for soldiering through in those lean times. With them just starting their business at that time, at the beginning of coronavirus. So God bless them and right on. And God bless and right on to all the others that have weathered through these turbulent times, because again, a lot of Black businesses dropped off. But again, some of those, I should say, I won't say most because I don't have those numbers, But some of those businesses have turned those lemons into lemonade and begun to thrive. So peace to them and Godspeed with all of you. We really want to acknowledge all the entrepreneurs that struggle and soldier through this last year. It's been really, really rough, and all the adjustments and protocols, all the change that all the necessary change and what seems to be unnecessary is supremely necessary overall. So it's been quite a bit, and I'm speaking of particularly all the people that had to all the servers in the food and beverage industry that struggled mightily, and all the safety protocols that had to be made, and new standards, new measurements, so much change, and to have to, and not only that, have to maintain your personal, your personality through all this, and to be able to have that duality, it's a real struggle. So I just want to give a shout out to everybody that's soldiered through all this in this industry. So thank you for being such a great teammate. And I know you're listening. So thank you so much. You know how I feel about you. With that said, again, I'm going back to the mental state of our people with the reopening of this country, and one aspect of our mental state that I'm seeing is how, you know, the old saying, how the more things change, the more things stay the same. I'm seeing a bit of that, I guess, but it's just my perspective. I really think that the level of respect and not give a fuckness is at its peak right now, because again, I'm seeing some things that even a couple of years ago I would have been shocked to see. I need to stop acting so damn amazed, I guess, but it just seems like what I saw the other day and what I've experienced in the last couple of weeks, it just seems like I wouldn't have seen that a couple of years ago, and it just shocked the shit out of me. And it reminded me, and I know my brother Kevin can relate to this. It felt like when I saw that shit, I said, man, it feels like I'm in New York. It had that New York vibe to it. And where these things took place is supposedly renowned for being one of the friendly, you know, like Disneyland is the happiest, Disney World is the happiest place on earth. Well, this place is supposed to be like the friendliest place. So, yeah. And again, I'm chalking it up to being confined, being so confined over the last year, the ripple effect of 2020 has really shown I mean, and I'm not even including January 6th. I'm talking about the everything that we've seen from the beginning of the year, and again the reopening. You know, this spring. This has probably been the most unique spring and summer in modern times. In regards to being, with all the changes, protocol, standards, everyone's concerns. This is just has to be the most unique time, one of the most unique springs in our history. And I really think, again, I was having a discussion with a comrade the other day that where we were talking about how we just don't see each other. We just don't see each other, and we don't interact with each other the way we used to. And it's due part and parcel to the fact that we've been so confined. And in order for us to communicate that way of thinking with this, we have to, like that movie Crash with Don Cheadle, where it's explained that in order for us to communicate with each other, we got to crash into each other just to get each other's attention, just to get our attention. So we have to do it. So this is the way, this is the new norm. I'm asking now, is this the new norm? Must we crash into each other to get our attention? If that's the way we seek attention, what does that say about us? I got a lot of questions, and that's just one of them. I also want to address, you know, besides the mental state, you know, we've been talking on this show about reparations for a long time. And the vote to get proposals on reparations, just to have a meeting on reparations was introduced in the beginning of the year. In fact, just 2 days before that onslaught at the Capitol, was introduced in the House, the commission to study and develop reparation proposals for African Americans Act. And essentially, this bill establishes a commission to study and develop reparation proposals for African Americans. The commission shall examine slavery and discrimination in the colonies and the United States from 1619 to the present and recommend appropriate remedies. The commission shall identify the role of the federal and state governments in supporting the institution of slavery, forms of discrimination in the public and private sectors against freed slaves and their descendants, and lingering negative effect of slavery on living African Americans and society today. This was introduced January 4th this year. So in April, introduced by Miss Sheila Lee. And I know Brother Melvin knows I'm not sure if she's his representative. I'm almost certain. But in April of this year, it was ordered to be reported amended, and it was outvoted 25-17. So it was introduced to the House. It was introduced to the House in April. It has yet to pass the House. However, we just have to track the process here because once it's passed by the House, then it has to go through the Senate, and then from the Senate it goes to the President's desk. And the most important thing, in my opinion, is to pressure this sitting president to pass this into law, so we can pass these proposals into law, and make this reparation proposal, this Reparation for African Americans Act, real. So with that said, we've got a lot of work to do, and there's a misconception about this whole, about the reparations. People think that there's just going to be this doling out of fat ass checks to the average brother and sister. I promise you, it's not going to be anything like that. Simply because you know how the government is. And I hate to say this, but it has to be the way these reparations have to be allocated. There has to be a structure, and within this structure, it has to have a solid foundation, and trustworthy members that will use this money and funnel this money into the places where they need to go, to the small businesses, to the networks and various developing cells of attorneys and doctors and engineers and communications and analysts and experts, not to mention money towards the arts in our community, as well as the youth programs and things of that nature, as well as the HBCUs. All this money has to be allocated, but it has to be in a solid structure, as we've spoken on this show before about networking. We must have solid communication that cannot be severed. That cannot be severed and disabled. I think that's important as far as building a nation. It's so important that communication be top priority. And again, with these reparations, again, I want to dissuade y'all from this misconception of there's going to be these massive checks going out to niggas. It's not going to go like that. It's not going to be like on the Dave Chappelle show. It's going to be structured in such a way. Not only that, with the Black Bank Network, it's already in the works and how this is going to go. So for all y'all that are expecting to get a giant check, don't hold your breath. There will be tax incentives included. There'll be a number of other incentives as far as education and again more social programs and besides education and arts. Not only that, Black construction firms, contractors here in the state of Illinois, and particularly in Chicago, recently received a grant or something. They got a lot of money because they I know what it was. They got a settlement. A discrimination settlement because of the city didn't chose another contractor over this Black contractor, and it was a blatant act that there was some things said and promised and it didn't happen. There was reputations that were stained, so they got a big payout, but a lot of this, there needs to be more Black contractors and building builders. That's why we need more engineers. I've been saying on this show for a long time, we need more engineers, we need more attorneys, we need more doctors, we need more vets, we need teachers, we need nation builders. We need people to build. So with these Black contractors, we can build hospitals. You know, we can use. And the reason why I'm highlighting all this tonight is simply because, look, 100 years ago, we got a shining example of how it's. We got the goddamn blueprint of how it can be, of how it's done in Tulsa. So now it's, I mean, really, how much more do we need to see? How much more suffering do we need to see and experience in order for us to desperately feel the desperate need to make goddamn change? Because this can't go on forever or we're going to be gone straight up. Got to make some changes. This is how it's done. You got the blueprint. You make this happen. Like Brother Melvin says all the time, we need each other. Come together and bring this together. Bring it all in. Everybody ain't going to join. I know. Good. You want to get with us? Reach out to us at thepantherparty1966@gmail.com. That's thepantherparty1966@gmail.com. Leave your name and a contact number. and we'll get back at you. I promise you. Because we need each other. Ain't nobody else going to help us. We got the blueprint. It's 100 years old. It's time. I'm seeing so many, again, shout out to everybody that soldiered through this storm over the last year. It's been an utter hell. We've all lost friends and family. It's been treacherous and tragic. But there's been moments of triumph too. So all is not lost. But again, we got the blueprint. It's time. Haven't we seen enough? Haven't we hurt enough? Aren't you sick of it? We got the blueprint. Let's do it. It's been exactly 100 years. We've seen how it can be done. We've seen how it's done. And if I know my people, you know, we don't take kindly to taking what's somebody else taking what's ours. And we certainly ain't giving away something that we work hard as fuck for. So, you know, it's time. We got to do this. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to further discuss the H.R. 40 vote and the impact that it's going to have on us and our community, the financial impact, I should say, on our community, because again, there's this misconception that we're all going to get this giant payday, and it's just not going to happen like that. It has to be, and it's going to be, structured in such a way where we can all benefit from it, and we can't, and we're not going to give it right. You feel me? That's the whole point of structuring this Reparations Act, so we don't just give it right the fuck back. Got to build. It's what we've been talking about for the last year on this show, about building, not giving it right back. That make no sense. People working too hard to get this through. Just you don't understand how the level of hard work it took just to get this to the House floor back in April. A lot of people sacrificed a lot just to get this to the House floor. So it's not going to be denied. Now we just got to get it to the Senate and to the president's desk, put pressure on this sitting president to make it into law so we can structure this, so this thing can be structured the way it needs to be so it can benefit everyone. With that said, we take a short break. You're listening to the Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. We'll be back in a minute. Peace.
It's unfortunate that we even have to say Black Lives Matter. I mean, if you go through history, nobody ever gave a fuck. I mean, you can kill black people in the street. Nobody goes to jail. Nobody goes to prison. But when I say Black Lives Matter and you say All Lives Matter, that's like if I was to say Gay Lives Matter and you say All Lives Matter. If I said Women's Lives Matter and you say All Lives Matter, you're diluting what I'm saying. You're diluting the issue. The issue isn't about everybody. It's about black lives at the moment. But the truth of the matter is they don't really give a fuck about anybody if you break the shit all the way down to the low fucking dirty ass truth.
We say that Black Lives Matter, but truthfully they really never have. No one ever really gave a fuck. Just read your books and history books. But honestly, it ain't just black. It's yellow, it's brown, it's red. It's
pulling rich people out of their cars in their neighborhood because they know they got lawyers. They know they'll sue their ass. They can tell who the fuck with. Unfortunately, black or brown skin is always meant for. They're profiling you, kid. They know you can't fight back, but we're about to.
Investigators say they are reviewing body camera and dash cam video of Tuesday's shooting. Police say that Keith Lamont Scott did have a gun in his hand when an officer shot him. A new picture of the scene shows something at Scott's feet. A source tells our Charlotte affiliate it may be a gun, but people in the neighborhood say that the father of four was holding a book instead.
Officer Vincent was in plain clothes when the shooting happened, and he was not wearing a body-worn camera, but we are told that three other officers were there. The department is under increasing pressure to release police videos from the shooting, but the police chief says they will not do that right now because of the investigation.
Don't fall for the bait and switch! Racism is real, but not it! They fuck whoever can't fight back! But now we gotta change all that! The people have had enough! Right now it's them against us! This shit is ugly to the core! When it comes to the poor, no life matters! This shit is ugly to the core! When it comes to the poor, no life!
Peace. Welcome back to the Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. We've been discussing, tonight we've been discussing, please, if you want to join us in our discussion, all you got to do, guys, is call 914-205-5538. That's 914-205-5538. Press 1 to speak and just be respectful and kind to the other callers and to our other guests, and yield when you're done with your question or your statement. But all are most welcome, and please join us in our conversation tonight. We've been discussing the mental state, the current mental state of Black America in the reopening of the country, as well as reparations proposals vote, not the actual vote on what the reparations will be. We want to make that distinction clear, because there's this misconception that there's going to be this big payday. And you know how rumors spread in the hood. But I assure you, what's being discussed and talked about and spread in barbershops and that store ain't what it's really going to be like. I promise you. So with that said, that's what we've been discussing tonight, the reparations and, again, the current mental state of Black America and the reopening of this country, and how it's just the examples of what I've seen in my travels and work, being in my beloved Chicago, but in my travels as well in the last few months. Seeing a lot of strange stuff, man, really strange. And people just have, my opinion, have lost their damn minds. And I hope, I asked the question earlier, how much more do we need to see? How much more do we need to experience before we decide that enough is enough and we must make some change? How much more do we need to see is the question. So, I'm going to, in this portion of the last hour of the show, I'm going to open up the mic. I see my main man is on. If your microphone's open, brother, welcome to the show. I was happy to hear you. Happy to hear you last night, and so glad that you imparting us with your wisdom, man. Thank you for calling, brother.
Yeah, peace. I'm actually listening. I'm still working. But I was listening online and just decided to call in. And listen, I was getting a messed up connection. Kept dropping for some reason. Yeah, last night I just want to piggyback off of your talk about reparations. Last night I was actually talking about the emancipation and what it really meant and what it really didn't mean, and you know, how much longer are we going to wait for freedom? And you're talking about reparations, and I feel like there are many ways that we can be reparated by this system, and it doesn't necessarily have to be money. I've stated many times that we could be given tax exemption. We could be given free health care. We could be given free education. I feel like we could be, should be given startup money. I heard you talking about the these PPP loans that were handed out, and it's ironic because I was, you know, actually trying to get my hands on a little bit of the cash to help me jumpstart my trucking business. And it's amazing how that money can miss the people that really need it and the people who are already, you know, in the game get even more incentives, while those of us who are trying...
That was in the Trump administration. That was intentionally done, and over 90% of that money was allocated to white companies.
Yeah, I believe that. I definitely believe that. Like I say, it's just we've never been given our fair chance, and last night I stated, as I've stated many a time, it's time for us to stop begging for the chance that we can give to ourselves. And I'm not saying that we don't deserve reparations, because we deserve something for what our ancestors put into this country. But as far as continuously begging this system for it, it's just not going to happen. I'm sorry to burst bubbles, but it's just not going to happen. And I'm just to a mindset now where, damn, I mean, this is just my philosophy. If I ask somebody for something three times, if I have to ask a fourth time, I'm begging. And see, we've been asking for 400 years now. I used an analogy last night how I'm asking for the same thing my grandfather was asking for, and he was asking for the same thing that his father was asking for, and so on and so on. And it comes a time when we as men, and I'm talking man now, because it comes a time when we as men have to say enough is enough. I was on the Queen's show Sunday night, and her topic was how much is enough? You know, and she brought up the case about the young six-year-old that was shot by this Asian guy for leaving his tricycle on his lawn. But my point is this. We've got to start taking care of one another. It's time for us to start chin-checking people when they get out of line. And that's an old terminology, but those who are close to my age know exactly what I'm talking about. And when I say that, I'm saying that we need to start chin-checking this system because we're not getting justice. We need to start chin-checking these civilians who take it upon themselves to try to keep us in line, because I'm seeing this Asian deal as a green light for Asians to do whatever they want to do to us.
Mm-hmm.
And this system will allow that. This system
allows
is allowing
it, yes.
Will
because
allow
of the propaganda machine is on 10. It's all
exactly,
part of the goddamn propaganda machine.
These Karens and these Billies and Brits who've been, you know, popping up, and it's all about control with them. And they know that they're losing right now. See, their numbers are dwindling. This opioid crisis, unbeknownst to anyone, but I do a lot of reading, but this opioid crisis has been kicking their ass while COVID has been going on. They've been losing thousands to this opioid crisis, and they're building rehabs out of the ass now because now it's a sickness, you know. But
yeah, it was criminal for us, but for them,
exactly.
It's a health epidemic.
It's a sickness, which is a sickness for the user. Any user who is addicted to drugs, it is a sickness. It's an addiction, and they
indeed
need help. But we as blacks were not looked at as human, so it was just a way for the system to kill two birds with one stone. And back to my point, like I was saying, I mean, it's time for us to worry about us more. You know, we worry about everybody else and what's happening with them, and don't nobody worry about us, not even us. You know, so like I say, we need to stop begging for shit we can do for ourselves. And like you mentioned with Tulsa, and like I've said, we've had several blueprints. We've had the Ocoee. We've had Slocum. We've had Elaine. We've had Rosewood. We've had Tulsa and numerous other black townships that were developed and that were thriving. And we have always taken nothing and turned it into something. So that's nothing new for us. We always make lemonade out of the lemons, you know. So our resilience should become our resistance. And our resistance needs to become our united force, our united stance, because no one person can do this. It's going to take all of us. No, not one of those towns that I mentioned were built by one person. It took everyone within that group working collectively to build up 35 square blocks and all the other towns like Slocum and Ocoee and all the other ones that were built and forcefully taken. And that's another thing that we have got to do collectively. We've got to defend ourselves, and we've got to stand up for what we uphold. We've got to stand up and be willing to die for what we want. If you're not willing to die for what you want, you're in the wrong fight. If you're not willing to die for what you want, you don't really want it. And on that, I yield.
Well said, my brother. And again, thank you for imparting us with your incredible wisdom and insight, because you see it like you said a minute ago. You know, we got to chin check the system. You know, our generation, you know, our contemporaries, we know what that phrase means, and it's very powerful. And we, outside of what's the other thing, pimping the system, and like you said, chin check the system. It's got to be done, and like you said before, how much more? How much more, man? It's got to be like you said, it's got to be a collective, and it's got to be, you know, those same sacrifices got to be made in order to build up those 35 blocks. You know, I'm seeing examples. I'm going to tell you, brother, right now, there's an example right there in the hood where I grew up in that was notorious for abandoned buildings and killings and drug havens and whatnot. Corners were millions of dollars were made, you know, at the by selling drugs to our own people. Now that very block has got barbershop, restaurant, catering, a moving company, some other services, a computer. Computer services place. So that's just one example of how the community is building up by people willing to make those sacrifices that are necessary in order to build those 35 blocks, like you say. It's so important that we focus on just these pockets of communities that are thriving, because when you got one building up, that's just going to spawn another one, right? Just like these, just like the ones I just made the example of. This block was horrible, brother. Terrible. I wouldn't send my worst enemy over there. But now, you need a reservation to eat over there now, for real. So this is such this is what's so important about the reparations. I also wanted to touch on what we discussed earlier about where the money's going to go towards structuring these reparation payments. And what you touched on as far as tax exemptions, as well as free education and loans, money allocated towards building businesses, as well as there was another parameter in the from what I read, and I don't have the details in front of me right now, but during the Trump administration, all that money that was supposed to go to the minorities they're writing that wrong. The Biden administration is writing that wrong by loan forgiveness, and I believe I saw a number that said $5 billion to minority. Yeah, $5 billion to minorities that didn't receive that money over the last 4 years during the Trump administration. That didn't receive that money. They're getting that money plus loan forgiveness plus another percentage of some money that's supposed to go to minorities. So that's a good thing. And that's going to be so important again with this reparations proposal, loan forgiveness, student loan forgiveness, and a number of other financial hurdles that have to be a number of financial hurdles that have to be jumped. So this reparations thing is really going to happen, but again, it's not going to happen the way everyone is thinking. And the rumor mills are, as you can imagine, the rumor mills are, I've heard so many, you know, people are really expecting to get double-digit million-dollar checks. And it just seems, it just seems a little far-fetched because unrealistic. I'll use that word. It's unrealistic because if you give someone $10 million, just straight $10 million tax-free, guarantee you that that $10 million will be depleted, for lack of a better word, will be depleted in a short amount of time in our community. And that's sad to say. You know, I thought it was genius that Dave Chappelle did that on the Dave Chappelle Show. I thought it was rather genius the way he did that because it just highlighted the mentality of our community and what we do when we get large sums of money. Uncle Ruckus on the Boondocks says, giving $1 million, throwing $1 million in the monkey cage. Yeah, I know that's a terrible thing to say. Some type of stereos or something. Lipstick on a pig, something like that. You know, we've heard them all. All those colloquialisms to show the wretchedness of our mindset, not of our people, but of our mindset, because our people ain't wretched or ratchet. It's the things we do. Let's not get it twisted. So $10 million in your bank account, I know all of us aren't irresponsible and won't throw away our money. Some of us are shrewd. Some of us are downright cheap. A lot of us will save it. A lot of people will be frivolous with it. I'm just using that as an example because it's just not going to happen that way. Pookie and Ray Ray and them ain't going to get no $12 million check from the government. I promise you, that ain't going to happen. However, there will be structure and solid foundation to this act that will, there will be a watchdog group to oversee how this money will be allocated, because the government just think, trust me, it's not going to happen like that. There will be watchdog groups, much like, there will also be these proposals. The proposals are geared towards who are responsible and who would be liable, not just the government but other corporations making payments, doing having settlements in court, settlements going towards, you know, it ain't just all going to be on the government. This ain't all on the government's dime. There's major corporations, insurance companies, agricultural companies, food companies, various other pharmaceutical corporations. Major corporations are going to be responsible for funding reparations. It ain't just going to be the government, I promise you. So that's why this is going to be structured in such a way Pookie and them ain't getting no $10 million check. It's just not going to happen. But as Brother Melvin highlighted earlier, social programs, tax incentives, small business incentives, just a litany of things that will benefit us all, not just some. And what I mean by benefit us all, I meant generationally. Not just us, not just your kids, but two generations from now. So far down the line, what they won't even understand, they won't even be talking about racism. They won't even be talking about reparations. They'll be talking about how granddaddy and grandma and granddad got this money and turned it into something that we have to be educated in order to run. That's what we're talking about. Generational wealth. Building generational wealth. But starting at this point, where those generations won't even be talking about slavery. They won't be talking about how their great-great-great-great-great-grandparents risk their lives, sacrifice so much. They won't be talking about that. They'll be talking about with great esteem. They'll be talking about how their grandfather started something huge, started a biotech company. You know, started a school. How their grandfather built a university like Duke or Princeton. That's what they'll be talking about. They'll be talking about it with esteem and great pride, how their family acquired and accumulated their wealth. They're gonna be talking about Auntie Bessie. And sadly, that's a good thing. That's a bad thing too. Hopefully, they'll be taught their history, so they won't forget that history and those sacrifices. That's our job, to remind them, to teach them that history and how we got to that and how they got to this point. That's what's important. So these reparations proposals are a big deal. In the efforts to build this nation that we've been dreaming of, that we've been desperately struggling and fighting for, that we've been sacrificing for, that we've lost so many lives and lost so much sleep and shed so much blood and tears for. It's time to make that a reality. Again, we got the blueprint. We've got shining examples. 100 years, We got examples right now of people triumphing, that are exceeding, going above and beyond their wildest dreams. Just a year ago, when all was lost, and a year later, dreams fulfilled. Unexpected fortune. Hard work paying off. Sacrifice paying off. Tragedy turned into triumph in a year. So it can happen. I've seen a lot of examples right here. And this is such a good thing. But I also wanted to discuss, and I said that we were going to discuss this briefly, was the advent of the former wife of Amazon King Jeff Bezos is shelling out a lot of paper to a lot of people and organizations. She's been giving away so much money, fortunately for us, in our community, she's done a bang up job. She's so far, it's just locally here. She's giving money away to us. She's giving away a few $1 million here in Chicago, in a much needed area. So I want to give a shout out to Ms. McKenzie and using it, and her philosophy of using this money, much like Robin Hood, because she divorced that man and took and is giving away all his money. And I love it because she's doing the right thing, and it doesn't matter. I'm not prude or anything like that, but it doesn't matter how that money was made. You know, that money was made through. I'm gonna tell you how that money was. How this man got all of his money is through exploitation of our people in our very own community. So with her giving away his money back to our community, it's good karma. And enough of the exploitation of our community. And I see that she's been giving away, so far she's given away $7 billion. Wow. That's quite a piece of change. And that money will go a long way. And the good thing about her, from what I'm reading, she is speaking of watchdogs, she's got people that really watch where that money is going, making sure that it's going to the places where, when she signs that check, that money is going where it's supposed to go, and not into the pockets of the executives or the suits or the board members of these charities, these nonprofit groups that she's giving this money away to. So that's a good thing. We appreciate you, Miss McKenzie, for doing the right thing, in the words of Spike Lee, because it's much needed. And again, along the lines of reparations, as I spoke on earlier, it's not just going to be on the government's dime. These reparations and proposals will be geared towards other corporations, not just the USA. Big, major corporations that will be making settlements much like, and I want to also think that we'll, let me finish the sentence, that we'll be making settlements towards reparations, the Reparations Act, several corporations. And I want to give a shout out and a special thanks to the NFL for being the vanguard and the very beacon of corporate America giving back to the community. Although they did give a fraction to the old players, they gave a fraction of the billions of dollars that they have to the old players that cannot afford their medical bills and are hanging on to their lives. They did give a fraction of their billions to the old players, and they are. The NFL is doing quite a bit in the community, from what I see here, just in Chicago alone. And I understand that this the reason why I brought up the NFL is in with them being the beacon or the very vanguard of corporations, leading corporations, because the way that they've structured their version of reparations is going to be the way it's going to be structured for the Reparations Act after the Reparations Act is passed, I should say. So that's the kind of structure that they're going to use that as the blueprint, I believe, or something, a reasonable facsimile of that particular blueprint, because the NFL is doling out money left and right to various charities. NFL Charities is doing a good thing, and I wanted to give them a special shout out. And I'd be remiss if I didn't. I mean, we're almost done with the show. We only got like 30 minutes remaining in the show, and I haven't mentioned a word about boycotting. Simply said, and I again, I'd be remiss without mentioning that it's Blackout Tuesday, and you know, you've been following this show, that every Tuesday we emphasize boycotting. Boycott everybody. Spend your money in the black community. Every day is a good day to boycott, but particularly on Tuesdays, we recognize and emphasize boycotting. We understand that we understand you got to pay your bills. Feel you. Got to pay your bills. You got stuff. We don't manufacture a lot of stuff, so you got to spend your money. I get it. But just on this one day, just ask you to please patronize black folks. If you can do that, patronize your people. Keep your money in your community. It'll circulate through the community and help further build. Your community. So boycott every Tuesday. It's Blackout Tuesday. Boycott every Tuesday. And remember, any day is a good day. Boycott. And keep this number in your head. 381. We were talking about blueprints for success before. 381 days. A boycott flipped the Montgomery boycott, or the Montgomery Bus Company, on his ear. So don't say it can't be done. So if you've been following this show for at least the last year, you know 381 is a number that can't be denied. It's powerful. It works. Every Tuesday. Patronize black business. Patronize minority business in your community. With that said, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be back to finish the show, and we'll further discuss the importance of this Reparations Act and the various proposals contained within this act. That has yet to reach the president's desk. It's, in fact, it's yet to reach the House yet, but once it, I mean, yes, rather the House of Representatives. However, that day is coming, and there'll be more to come, and we'll definitely be discussing the reparations further down the line on this show. You've been listening to the Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. We'll be back shortly.
I want you to know this. I want you to see. If you ever think about me, and if you think about me, niggas, and if you ain't gonna do no revolutionary act, forget about me. I don't want myself on your mind if you're not gonna work for the people. Like we always said, if you ask to make a commitment at the age of 20, and you say, I don't want to make that commitment on this because of different reasons that I'm too young to die, I want to live a little bit longer. What you did already. You have to understand that people have to pay the price for peace. If you dare to struggle, you dare to win. If you dare not to struggle, then goddamn it, you don't deserve to win. Let me say peace to you if you're willing to fight for it. Let me say it in the spirit of liberation. I've been gone for a little while. At least my body's been gone. You ain't got to see that to me. At least my body's been gone for a little while. But I'm back now, and I believe that I'm back to stay. I believe that I'm going to do my job, and I believe that I was born not to die in a car wreck. I don't believe I'm going to die in a car wreck. I don't believe I'm going to die from slipping on a piece of ice. I don't believe I'm going to die because I got a bad heart. I don't believe I'm going to die because of lung cancer. I believe that I'm going to be able to die in the thing that I was born for. I believe that I'm going to be able to die high off the people. I believe that I will be able to die as a revolutionary in the international revolutionary proletarian struggle. And I hope that each one of you will be able to die in the international proletarian revolutionary struggle, even be able to live in it. And I think that struggle is going to come. Why don't you live for the people? Why don't you struggle for the people? Why don't you die for the people?
Peace. Welcome back to the Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. Sorry for the delay there. Everybody had a little technical issue, but we're good now, I think. In the last few minutes of the show, we want to further discuss the importance and relevance of the Reparations Act Reparation Proposals Act. As well as the main topic of discussion tonight, which I think is paramount, is the current mental state of our people. It's been over the last year, it's been quite a tumultuous. It's been rough. It's been rough for everybody, and very few of us haven't been affected or impacted negatively by this coronavirus. But again, many of us have suffered and been through some traumatic shit and have triumphed. In the face of this catastrophe, myself personally, I've lost quite a few friends as well as family over the last year, and it is traumatic. It's tragic, and it does fuck with your psyche, and there's, you know, I've got family members that suffer from severe depression, And it's sad to watch, and it's painful, rather, to watch your loved ones suffer like that, especially, you know, especially knowing what they're dealing with, and not only that, you add the grief, you know, with the family members dying, you add that, you multiply that with the depression, and it's just, it's painful because you feel fucking handcuffed because you can't do anything, or you can do hardly anything. So, and that's where this thing leaves us, man, in this mental state of utter confusion and uncertainty. And fear. And you've heard me use, you follow this show, you've heard me use that word before, that fear, that emotion, that weak-ass emotion, what I consider a weak-ass emotion, fear. Because there's a difference, in my opinion, there's a difference between being fearful and being afraid. Two different things. And there's levels to fear as well. But all in all, it's a weak emotion that but we all have this level of fear due in part to this catastrophe, this level of uncertainty, confusion. Anger. People are angry now. People, I mean, even angrier than before. It ain't just the Trumpsters. It's almost everybody. Everybody got an attitude. Everybody's got an attitude. I'm seeing in the public. I'm seeing a lot of people don't want to go back to work because of their attitude. Don't want to deal with people and their attitudes. That's why I'm asking the question. Where are we currently in this mental state? Because it ain't just because the people don't want to go back to work just because it would ruin their unemployment. They got unemployment until the end of the year. And they would mess up their unemployment. They would go bankrupt if they went back to work. Things like that. No, man, it's part of it, but some of it is people just don't want to deal with people. I work in a high profile public area. I understand what it's like to deal with people, deal with personalities all the time. But there's people that just cannot do that. And there's people who don't want to go back to work simply for that reason, because they don't want to deal with people and their attitudes. How people have changed so much, how their attitudes have changed so much with this coronavirus, how the mindset has changed, how morals and the level and measures of respect or apathy, for that matter. People just don't care. People don't care to deal with somebody else's negativity. So they stay at home. They stay on unemployment. They don't commiserate with people. Even with the country opening back up, everything's opening back up. People don't want to deal with people. And I really can't say I blame them, because people are being so rude. Manners gone. Respect gone. Out the window. People are so... And it's just not safe. You got carjackings. You got road rage. You got straight up... I mean, it's just... right here in my beloved city, there's just rampant violence. There's no place safe. So why would you want to leave the crib? and face people in their lousy negative shit. It's sad. And that's why I asked, that's why I chose this as a topic of discussion. And we'll, next show, we'll focus, we'll discuss it further, and we'll put even more focus on the current state of our community, because I see it as very, very angry and sad. And I'm really sorry to, I'm really just sorry to report from this, from my perspective, not getting any better. It's getting worse because it's getting hot. It's summer now. A couple of days, it'll be officially summer. You know how wild it gets. So it's really, this is another reason why I asked this question, why I feel like it is so important for us to address this, because it's so prevalent. All these things, all these mental, just stuff that's happening now, man. I just haven't seen before. I'm on my way back from work the other morning, and I saw somebody who I thought that I recognized. And this guy had 3 hypodermic needles surrounding him and all of his other works. He had his works with him, and he was sitting on the bench on the train platform. And I really thought it was somebody that I knew from my past that I recognized. But it wasn't him, but he looked eerily similar to this guy. And I just felt so sad because – and then I saw a statistic today that said – that largely the overdose numbers in Chicago amongst blacks are higher than whites. But I'm seeing so many whites in the streets on heroin. Yeah, the heroin epidemic is bad in Chicago. Really, really bad. And it's gotten so bad there. Where in my neighborhood, where there aren't a lot of white people, there's white people coming over to my neighborhood to get their dope. So it's really bad. It's reached epidemic levels, and it seems that it's not getting any better. And that's what, and I'm using that as an example of how I opened the show with the current mental state of our community. And I offered that statistic that I just mentioned a minute ago to show that as an example to show how bad it really is. And again, focusing on the current mental state of our community. Really, really sad. I'm afraid that it's going to be, there's that word again, but I'm afraid that it's going to be really bad and unhealthy summer in my beloved city, and not just here, but around the country. Really appreciate Brother Melvin chiming in.
If I could piggyback real quick off of what you was just saying about the mental state, because today, really, when I got up this morning and after I meditated and got to rolling, just been on my mind all day, you know, sign of the times and you talking about the mental state and, you know, my mind really all day today has just been on a sign of the times. And a lot of the things that we're seeing are just signs of the time, the end time. And, you know, it says that in the end times, the world is going to be in a state of confusion. And if you take a real close look around, And just keep paying attention. The world, not just America, but the world is in a state of turmoil right now. Not just, like I say, this country, but numerous countries. Then you have just everybody living so unrighteously, so unmorally, so immoral, no integrity, and fastly going downhill. So the mental state is very important, and it also ties into our spiritual state. And that's why I say we, I said this last night, we gotta let go of everything that they gave us, everything they taught us. We've got to unlearn that and relearn it and make it to our benefit, because like I said numerous times, we've got a culture, not just an African culture. We've got a culture here in this country as well, and we need to get back to who we really are, because we took care of each other. We don't do it now. We used to care for one another. We don't do that now. We used to be more concerned and empathetic with one another, but we are not that away now. We've become more like the oppressor in our characteristics, in our behavior. And mentally, we've got to heal each other. I've said this 100 times. We need to, like Pac said, it's time for us to be real with each other and heal each other. And I've said this time and time again. We are all sick. Mentally, we are all sick. You cannot help but be sick witnessing what we witness and living and dealing with it on a daily basis without being sick mentally. So we, like I say, just got to start putting ourselves first and stop letting people shame us into thinking something is wrong with that. And on that, I'll yield.
Right on, brother. Well said. Well said. And, you know, with that said, as you always have touted about us, how important it is for us to use each other and build each other up and to take into what you said before about taking that next step, like when you started your company, you know, taking that next step instead of watching everybody else. I remember when you said the day that you got the wheels going, and you said something in regards to you said you were sick of watching other people pass you by or something like that, something to that effect, and you were motivated to get your own. And that's where I think we lack that motivation. And isn't that what we're trying to do? We're trying to motivate people, man, to start this, to build this nation, like we've discussed so many, even in our own private conversations and in our conference call, about building this nation and having the right people in order to do this. People that are motivated, people that are tired of watching other people move in front at our expense, tired of being exploited, tired of busting your ass for somebody else and building this nation and building a generation, some generational wealth. That's the premise here. And our purpose is rooted in the people. And that's what that's our mantra, at least on the Empowerment Zone, that's our mantra. Our purpose is rooted in the people, and all power to the people. And when the people get the power, we're going to do the right thing. And again, enough is enough. When are we gonna finally realize that it's time to make a change? And it ain't too late. And again, we've got the blueprint. We got so many examples. And it's time. And whoever's motivated to do it, he's gonna do it. And be the example. Be the example. Open up that hardware store. Or open up that computer store. Or open up that popcorn shop. And that'll give somebody else an idea. Man, they could do it. They didn't have shit. And now they got something to show for it. All that hard work and sacrifice, they got something to show for it. I could do that. Right? So be the example. We got a lot of examples. And we need each other. Like Melvin said, we need each other. We can use each other, teach each other, heal each other, reach out to each other, communicate with each other, create networks, bond. Enough with the division. Enough with the little bait and switch. Start trusting each other. Start building. And expect more from yourself. And respect yourself. Respect each other. That's key. See yourself as something more than what they see you as. It's so important. This is the Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. And we stress emphasis on preparedness. And when we say preparedness, that means preparing yourself, preparing your family, preparing your mind for what's coming the next day and the day after. Again, you've been listening to the Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. I want to thank Brother Melvin for chiming in and imparting his wisdom to us. And always, brother, thank you and peace to you. And also want to thank everybody that listens online. I know who you are. I've talked to you. Really appreciate you. All my drivers out there, you know how I feel about you. Be safe out there. Be vigilant. Be ultra, ultra careful when you're out there on the road. All my servers out there getting off late tonight, again, be ultra careful. Watch who you talk to. Watch when you're going out to your cars. Watch when you're going home. Just be careful. And again, thank you for everybody that's tuned in tonight, listened online. We love you here in the Empowerment Zone. Glad to be back. Really, really happy to be back. I know I've been gone for a while, but I'll be back. The next show will be discussing the aspects of the reparations proposals and movements, and also more current events, as well as some things that we didn't discuss tonight that I think that are paramount. With regards to the brutality that's been going on, that I haven't really touched on, that we must not ignore here in the Empowerment Zone. You know, we've always focused on righting the wrongs of the injustices that have been placed on our people. So we're going to continue that. We're going to continue that fight. And on the next show, the next installation, we will further discuss the issues, the current events that we weren't able to touch on tonight. Again, thank you all for listening. You've been listening to the Empowerment Zone on the Panther Party Radio Network. Stay tuned for all the other shows on the network. Brother Melvin, if you want to chime in and promote your show, please, you're welcome to.
Oh, I'm good. Monday nights, 7 o'clock, I may be on Monday night for sure. Thanks for having me. Peace, power, love.
Peace, power, love. My brother, my brother. Thank you ever so much. And once again, everybody, thank you. And we'll talk to you later. Be careful out there. And know that here in the apartment zone, we love you. Peace.
Never find life, baby, I'm on it.
Yeah.
Never find why between love and hate. See, can't wait too late, but baby, I'm on it. Never find why between love and hate. But baby, I'm on it. Can't worry about what a nigga think to see. That liberation, and baby, I want it. Can't worry about what another nigga think. Now that's liberation, and baby, I want it.
Shake it, 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 sh
must admit, they planted a lot of things in the brains and the veins of my strain. Makes it hard to refrain from the host of cocaine, from them whores, from the flame, from a post in the game. Makes it hard to maintain focus. Then from the Glock rounds and lockdowns and burials, the seeds that sowed get devoured by the same locusts. Cause it's a hard road to hoe if your ass don't move and the rain don't fall and the ground is dry, but the roots are strong, so some survive. To your surprise, now my voice they cries. You got more juice than Zeus, slinging lightning trying to frighten flames dwellers of the Serengeti, but get beheaded when you foster the dreaded melanin, silicone, and collagen injected. Dissecting my pride, who the one gonna get it started? We be the lion-hearted, without infanticide. It's like that red sprite, you can't imagine, unless you're looking at the canvas of life, not through the peephole of mortality. Single-minded mentality, getting over on loopholes, getting paid twofold on technicalities. Clicking your heels, scared to voice how you feel, packing steel, picking cotton from the killing fields with no total. I don't think we in Kansas, no moto. Midwest or dirty south, clean dress or dirty mouth. Whether robbing preachers or killing poor righteous teachers, you a scared demon, shouldn't be allowed to spread semen. And your cowardly lines never define the jackals of Babel. Running with they pack, tell between your legs, throw the mane on your head, say the story. As you downplay your glory, cackling, helping the shackling of your brethren happen, just by rapping. Libertad, libertad, libertad.